Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puffed Wheat. It's neat. And when you hear that shooting, you're darn tootin'. The Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
Boy, oh boy, there's a Thanksgiving harvest of good eating for you every morning when you have Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice on your breakfast table. Reach for the big red and blue package and pour out those king-size choice premium grains, the ones shot from guns. For a harvest of flavor every morning, treat yourself to delicious Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. Sam Jackson ran across the rocky ground on a hillside about 30 miles north of Dawson. His face was flushed with excitement, and he started shouting when he was about 50 feet away from a crude log cabin.
Mike! Hey, Mike, I found it!
The cabin door swung open, and a man who, like Sam, wore the clothing of a prospector appeared in the opening.
Take it easy, Sam. You'll fall and bust your neck.
Mike, I struck it rich. I found gold.
Come inside, Sam.
Did you hear what I said, Mike? I've struck it rich.
You sure?
Yes, sirree. I found the mother lode. It's a vein of the purest ore I've ever seen. Look at these samples, Mike. Look them over and tell me if they're not the finest looking hunks of ore you've ever seen. Oh, I told you I'd strike it rich sooner or later. I knew I'd do it.
Sam, are you sure you found this ore on your claim?
Oh, no doubt of it, Mike. I found the vein on my claim, and it's a big one.
Well, could you tell which way the vein runs? Does it look as if it might spread over to my property?
Oh, I wish you could say that it does, Mike, but I can't.
Oh.
Ah, cheer up, Mike. This proves that there's gold to be had. You keep working your claim and you might be just as lucky as I was.
I suppose you'll be heading into Dawson in a couple of weeks with a rich load of gold.
You're doggone right. And you'll come with me, Mike. We'll go together and I'll have a party to celebrate. We'll take over the Nugget Cafe for the whole evening. We'll have a party Dawson will never forget.
It was a few weeks later when Sergeant Preston entered the Nugget Cafe in Dawson and found an exceptionally gay and lively crowd assembled. He was welcomed by the proprietor.
Hi, Sergeant Preston. Glad to see you.
Hello, Jim. Looks like a celebration.
It is. Sam Jackson invited everyone he knew to a party.
Sam Jackson? Well, he must have struck it rich.
He did.
Hey, there's Sergeant Preston.
He's seen you. I'll see you again.
Hello, Sam.
Welcome to the party, Sergeant Preston.
Have you heard the news of my good luck?
Yes, Sam. Congratulations.
I guess you've met my neighbor, Mike Kramer, haven't you?
No.
Well, Mike, shake hands with Sergeant Preston.
Hello, Kramer.
Howdy, Sergeant. Glad to know you.
Well, Mike has a claim next to mine. We've been roughing it together for quite a spell.
Oh. Yeah, I'm the only one who'll be roughing it from now on.
Sam, tell me about your strike. Is it a good one?
None better. I struck a vein of the purest ore I've ever seen.
Sam's really found something.
You deserve it, Sam. You've worked hard.
Thanks.
I'd like to give you a word of warning, though, Sam. There have been a number of holdups on the trail between Dawson and the Gold Hills.
So I've heard.
That's what I've been telling him.
Be careful when you bring your gold to town.
I think I'll wait until your next patrol. I'll feel safer with you helping me guard it.
Well, I'll be near your claim in about 6 weeks.
I'll have plenty to bring back by then. You sure that's when you'll be coming?
That's my schedule. I'll swing over to Craig's Landing, come back by way of your place, and pick you up.
That'll be fine. Nobody will try to rob me if they know I'm guarded by a Mahdi.
Well, say, there's a friend of mine. I'll see you later, Sam.
Sure.
Glad to have met you, Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant, let me tell you how I found this thing.
Hello, Pete. I wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, you told me that before.
said you had a good proposition.
So I have, but we'd better not talk in here.
Where do you want to go?
Where are you staying?
Northern Hotel.
Good. You go to your hotel room and wait there. I'll join you as soon as I can break away from Sam.
I hope this is a good proposition.
It is.
My room's number 19.
Good. I'll see you in an hour or so.
After seeing Pete in the cafe, Mike spent another hour with his friend Sam, then quietly left the party and hurried to Pete's hotel room. The lamp lighted Pete's face. His small pig eyes narrowed as he listened to Mike.
I tell you, Pete, Sam's going to be taking a lot of gold out of that claim. More than you ever saw in your life.
Go on. What's on your mind?
Well, I had a plan worked out when I told you I wanted to see you, but since then things have changed. Maybe you'll have an idea.
What was your plan, Mike?
Well, I thought we'd wait until Sam was ready to bring a shipment of gold here to Dawson. I'd come with him. I'd let you know when we were coming, and you could stage a holdup. I'd make it easy for you, and I'd pretend to sprain an ankle or something and delay Sam getting to Dawson. That'd give you plenty of time to get away before the Mounties were notified. And we could meet somewhere later and divide the take.
What's wrong with that plan?
Sergeant Preston is going to meet Sam with the claim and guard the gold while it's being brought to Dawson.
Oh.
No use trying to hold up a Mountie. Too dangerous.
Yeah, especially for me. You know, I've been in trouble before.
I know.
I don't want to brush with the law. Tell me, when is the Mountie to meet Sam at the claim?
About 6 weeks.
6 weeks, huh? How about stealing the gold that's been dug at the end of about 5 weeks?
Yeah, it'd be risky. Sergeant Preston is a mighty smart man. What's more, he has that dog named King to help follow a trail.
Mike, I have a plan that'll work. We'll get that gold and we'll get out of the Yukon with it.
It was about 6 weeks later when Sergeant Preston made his way along the trail from Craig's Landing toward Sam's cabin on the river. The weather had been clear for 4 days. Yukon King and the other dogs raced over the well-packed trail. As Preston guided his sled around a bend, he saw two men coming toward him. He recognized Mike Kramer, the friend of Sam's he had met in the Nugget Cafe.
Sergeant Preston!
Hulking! Hi, Husky!
I'm sure glad to see you, Sergeant. Do you remember me?
Yes, you're Sam's friend, Mike Kramer.
That's right, and this is Joe Marlin, a friend of mine.
Hello, Marlin.
Howdy, Sergeant.
We were heading for Craig's Landing to see you.
Oh, why?
Sam's been murdered.
Murdered?
We found him this morning.
Joe and I left 3 days ago for a hunting trip. When we got back this morning, we stopped to give Sam some caribou meat and found him dead in his cabin.
How was he killed?
Someone shot through the window and drilled him in the back. At least that's how it looked.
Was he robbed?
He might have been. Of course, we can't be sure.
Was he all right when you left on your trip?
Yes, Joe and I saw him just before we left. He asked us to bring back some caribou for him. Poor Sam, he was the best friend I ever had.
Let's go to the cabin. Did you leave things as you found them?
We didn't touch a thing, Sergeant Preston.
Good.
All right, unkang! On your husband!
A few moments later, Sergeant Preston brought his dog team to a halt in front of Sam's cabin.
Okay! Ho! Ho! Ho!
Then he turned to King, and much to the surprise of Mike and the man called Joe, said...
Now, King, we'll go inside and look around.
You mean to take your free lead dog inside, Sergeant?
Yes.
I was just thinking you might... disturb things, maybe spoil clues.
King's no tenderfoot. He's been on many murder cases with me. Cabin's cold.
Yeah, it was cold when we reached here. There's poor Sam, just as we found him. You can see that he was shot in the back.
Yes.
Joe and I figured he was shot from outside because the oil paper's been torn from the window.
Oh, yes.
I'd sure like to get my hands on the polecat that did this to Sam.
He trusted you, didn't he, Mike?
Oh, sure. I told you he was my best friend.
Do you know where he kept his gold?
Yes, he kept it right there in that chest.
Huh? The padlock seems to have been smashed.
I mentioned that to Joe when we were here before, didn't I, Joe?
Yeah.
I figured the killer might have robbed Sam, but I didn't want to touch anything here, and I couldn't open the chest without touching it.
Chest is empty.
I figured it'd be that way.
Has he been working his claim since he came back from Dawson?
Every day.
And he must have had considerable gold in this chest.
He did have. He was counting on taking it to Dawson when you arrived, remember?
Yes. Well, let's look around the outside of the cabin. Come on, King.
You'll find tracks in the snow, Sergeant Preston. Likely they're the tracks of the killer.
Oh, close the door behind you.
Right.
You say you found tracks?
That's right. They're behind the cabin near the window. Joe and I were mighty careful not to disturb them. See where we walked when we looked around?
Yes. Tracks might have been made any time in the past 4 days.
That's right.
Well, there they are, Sergeant Preston.
Here's where I stood, Sergeant, when I squatted down for a close look. There's a distinctive mark on that right heel. See it? Looks like a metal plate or something.
Mike, you should have been a policeman.
I'd like to be one long enough to run down the killer of my friend.
The trail comes directly from that clump of brush, then goes back there. I'll follow the tracks a little way.
The killer was mighty dumb to leave such a clear trail.
Maybe he figured it'd be covered by snow before the murder was discovered.
In that case, the killer was a man who knew little or nothing about the weather signs in this country. There's been no indication of snow for several days.
What's the matter with your dog?
He's found a scent.
Tracks go around behind the brushwood.
I'll see if anything's there.
Look at that snow. The killer had a dog sled. You can see the tracks real clear.
Well, King. You have the scent, eh, fella?
He acts like he wants to start right out.
Not yet, King. Here, boy.
Aren't you going to follow the trail, Sergeant?
Yes, but first I must make a further investigation in the cabin and take care of Sam's body.
Sergeant, would it be asking too much to take me with you when you trail the murderer? Sam was my best friend.
Very well, Mike. Come along if you want to.
Good. I want to be with you, Sergeant, when you get that killer.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Did your family eat a good, hearty Thanksgiving breakfast this morning? Did it include a heaping bowl full of delicious Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice with milk or cream and fruit? Remember, the one shot from guns furnish extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. Yes, for a Thanksgiving breakfast treat you can enjoy every morning, reach for the big red and blue package of delicious Quaker puffed rice or Quaker puffed wheat. And listen, don't miss out on the wonderful surprise at the end of the program. It's terrific. Now to continue. After wrapping Sam's body in a blanket and making a thorough inspection of the murdered man's cabin, Sergeant Preston set out with Mike Kramer to follow the clearly defined tracks of a dog sled that seemed to belong to the killer. King led the dog team at a fast pace along the hard-packed trail. Presently, the tracks of the killer's sled branched off the main trail and headed northwest.
Now he's heading straight for the border.
Yes, Sergeant. Likely he hopes to get out of the Yukon before he's caught.
Mm-hmm.
It'll soon be dark. You figure on stopping for the night?
Yes, but we'll keep going till we find a place to camp. Untang! On your husky!
Sergeant Preston didn't suspect that Mike, who posed as the best friend of the dead man, was actually one of the two who had planned Sam's murder. Nor did the Mountie suspect that the tracks he followed had been made only to lure him deep into the wilderness. After many weary miles, the sergeant halted his dogs in front of a trapper's cabin. With Mike and Yukon King, he went inside and found the place well equipped with food, firewood, and bedding. The owner was nowhere to be seen.
Well, according to the code of the country, Mike, we'll make ourselves at home.
Oh, I'm sure dead tired.
Too tired to eat?
Well, no.
Build up a fire in the fireplace, Mike. I'll fix some food. You're hungry too, eh, fella?
You want me to put King outside with the other dogs?
No, Mike. He'll stay here with us.
The Mountie left the cabin long enough to take his dog team out of harness, stake the dogs, and feed them. And then he prepared a hearty meal, after which he and Mike turned in for the night. King curled on the floor beside the Mountie's bunk. Sergeant Preston had slept for about 2 hours when he was wakened by King's low-voiced growl. In the red glow from the dying embers in the fireplace, Preston saw Mike standing in the middle of the room.
Mike? What's wrong?
Why, nothing.
Why was King growling?
I don't know. I just got up to get a drink of water.
Well, that's odd. I don't see why he'd growl at you. What's wrong, King?
Maybe he might have heard animals prowling around outside.
Someone out there, fella? Well, we better have a look. You hear something out here, boy?
He doesn't want to go out.
Nothing outside, eh, King?
Maybe I scared him moving around in the dark.
I often wish King could talk.
He's quiet now. Guess there's nothing to worry about. I'm going back to bed.
The remainder of the night passed without incident. But in the morning, Sergeant Preston noticed that King acted strangely. While the dogs of the team were being lined up and harnessed, King kept close to the side of his master.
We ready to start?
Yes. Well, what are you waiting for, King? Up front, boy. Take the lead.
King remained at Sergeant Preston's side and whimpered as if trying to tell the sergeant of impending danger.
It's time to go, King. Up front, boy. Let's go, Mike.
All right, on King! On, Husky!
Grudgingly, King led the team. Once again, the sled proceeded along the tracks of the man pursued. For a long time, the two men traveled without speaking. And then a rabbit darted out of cover on the trail ahead. Mike quickly fired his rifle.
Hello, you huskies! Hello, ho! Mike, you fool, that shot grazed King's head.
Oh, it couldn't have, Sergeant.
Come here, King. Hold still a minute, boy. There, you see? His ear's bleeding. You nicked it.
Sergeant, I'm sorry. I've always been a good shot.
After this, don't shoot at anything in front of my dog team.
I'm mighty sorry, Sergeant. That rabbit came out on the trail so sudden, I just fired without thinking.
After a brief rest, the two men continued on the killer's trail. And each passing hour took them deeper into the wilderness. Preston knew from the condition of the tracks that he was gaining on the man ahead. That night, the second on the trail, there was no cabin to give shelter.
We'll camp right here in the woods.
It looks like there's no choice.
If you'll pack down the snow, I'll go cut some wood from that fallen tree
there.
Yeah,
sure thing. You got the axe?
Right here. Come on, King.
With King at his side, the sergeant moved about 50 yards from the campsite and started work on a fallen tree. Though it was night, northern lights reflecting on the snow gave an eerie glow to the vicinity. King suddenly grew tense. He watched a clump of trees directly behind his master's back. Then suddenly he charged.
King!
Hey, look out! Get away from me! Get away, you cur! Preston, pull off your dog!
Mike, what's wrong?
Dog, get him off me!
Down, King! Down, boy! King! Back, boy! Back!
Look. What's the meaning of this, Mike?
Hold him while I get up.
Steady, King. What happened?
I was just coming to help you. I thought you'd need some help bringing back the wood, and your dog attacked me.
King doesn't attack without reason.
Well, he attacked me.
Why did you carry your rifle if you came to help me bring back wood?
Well, I was afraid some animal
Mike,
might...
Mike, you'd better tell me the truth.
Truth? What do you mean?
I think you deliberately tried to kill King earlier today. Were you trying to do it again, or was I to be the target?
Sergeant Preston, why should I want to shoot your dog, or you? I'm counting on you to get the killer of my best friend.
Mike, for some reason, King doesn't trust you. He roused me last night when you were moving around the cabin.
I was thirsty.
Yes, that's what you said. Today you fired a shot. If it had been a couple of inches lower, you'd have killed King.
The rabbit...
I know I was willing to give you the benefit of the doubt in that case, but now...
I was just coming to help you carry the wood.
King wouldn't attack you for that.
Well, he did. If I'd wanted to shoot you, Sergeant, I'd have done it back at Sam's cabin.
There was too much risk in shooting me where my body might be found and a manhunt started before you could reach the border. Furthermore, you'd have run the risk of meeting someone who would recognize my dog team and ask questions. Here, it would be easy for you to reach the border before anyone knew of the shooting.
But why would I shoot you?
I think you're working with the killer and planning to join him and share the stolen gold.
You're accusing me of helping murder my best friend.
I haven't accused you of anything, Mike, but I'm going to take precautions from now on. I'm going to handcuff you.
No, no!
Yes, and when we travel, you'll ride the sled and be handcuffed to it. Stick out your hands.
I will... That dog!
Better do as I say, Mike. Stick out your hands.
Mike spent the night in handcuffs. The following morning, he was forced to ride the sled with his wrists still fastened together. As Preston continued on the trail of the man ahead, he saw that huge rocks bordered the sides of the track through the snow. And then suddenly, from the rocks ahead, a shot rang out.
No!
Sergeant Preston staggered back from the fearful impact of a bullet, then fell. King quickly turned the team off the trail and out of the line of fire. Then he halted the dogs and streaked in the direction of the shot. Mike cried out,
Pete, look out for that dog!
But Mike's warning came too late. Pete's attention had been focused on Sergeant Preston lying in the snow. He did not notice the oncoming dog until King leaped over the rock. Pete was bowled over. His rifle flew from his hand.
Mike, help me, help me!
I can't help you. I'm faster than a sled.
King knew that this was the man his master had been trailing for several days. The great dog stood over Pete, who lay flat on his back in the snow, hardly daring to move. King wanted to go to his master, who lay on the trail behind the sled, but training dictated his duty. He stood on guard and growled menacingly each time Pete made a move. Then Sergeant Preston, slowly and painfully, regained his feet. The hood of his parka was cut by the bullet, and a trickle of blood ran down the side of his cheek from the scalp wound. He saw King just ahead, standing guard over the man who was only partially concealed by the boulder.
Watch him, King. Hold him, boy.
Before
he'll not hurt you unless you try to get away.
Sergeant Preston, this is the end of the trail. There's the man who killed Sam, and he tried to kill you, too. You see, I didn't have anything to do with it. Pete's the murderer.
I'll deal with you later, Mike.
Sergeant Preston staggered through the snow a few yards ahead of the sled.
Get away.
He picked up the rifle that Pete had dropped, then took the pistols and the killer's belt.
All right, King, let him up, but watch him, boy. Get up, Pete.
That dog.
Don't try to escape or he'll be after you.
Sergeant Preston saw Pete's sled and dog team drawn close to the shelter of a massive boulder. Though he was weak and his head throbbed, he forced himself to remain on his feet while he inspected the sled. In a moment, he found the gold that had been stolen from Sam Jackson. He left it on the sled and then turned to Pete.
Sit down on that sled.
What are you
going to
do? I'm
going to tie you to your sled the same way Mike's tied to mine. Your own dogs will take you to Dawson and to jail.
Why have you handcuffed Mike?
Because I suspected he plotted with you to murder Sam Jackson. Now I'm sure of it. You see, I was knocked down by your bullet, but I wasn't wholly unconscious. I heard Mike call you by name and warn you to look out for King. And I heard you call on Mike for help. There. That should hold you.
You may think you have the upper hand, Preston, but it's a long way to Dawson. A mighty long way for a man whose head has been brushed by a bullet.
King! You'll have to lead the team, boy, while I drive this team. We have a big job ahead of us, but we'll manage it. We must. Line them up, King.
It was 3 days later when Inspector Conrad, looking through the window of headquarters in Dawson, saw two dog sleds brought to a halt.
Great Scott, that's Sergeant Preston.
Preston, what has happened to you?
Like a ghost. And who are these men?
Killers of Sam Jackson, sir. Stolen gold on the sled.
Constable Norris, take charge of the men on these sleds.
Yes, sir.
Preston, you come inside with me. Let me help you. You've been wounded.
Oh, it's just a scalp wound, sir.
Yeah, no. Take it easy. Lean on me.
They planned it well, sir. Left a clear trail to follow. Took me 3 days from here. Planned to kill me and then escape to Alaska.
Sit down here. I'll have the surgeon look at your wound immediately.
Well, I'll be all right, sir. I'm just tired. I'm glad this case...
Well, easy does it, Sergeant. Lie back, son. Lie back and sleep. You've earned it. I'll say it for you. This case is closed.
We'll return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. But first, here is Sergeant Preston.
Now, boys and girls, get ready for some exciting news. Let's join our old friend Gabby Hayes and hear about it.
Please tell us, Gabby. Go ahead. What is it, Gabby?
Simmer down. Simmer down. I'll tell you. But first, do you see this hat I'm wearing?
Oh, yeah, I've always wondered where you got that keen, beat-up looking hat.
Oh, it's really different.
I'd give anything to have a hat like yours, Gabby.
Me, too. I bet there isn't another hat like it in the whole world.
Well, that's just it. Everybody keeps saying the same thing about this hat of mine. Where did you ever get that hat? Never saw a hat like it in my life. And that's the truth. There ain't none. So I decided to spring a surprise on all you buckaroos, radio listeners, moviegoers, televisionary fans, and everybody. I've got some hats made like mine up special for all my friends.
Oh, boy, isn't that swell?
All the kids will want them.
You're darn tootin'. If you've always been itching to get your hands on a hat like mine and wear it yourself, well, here's your big chance. It's like the hat I always wear in my Western movies and on my televisionary programs. I brought some along for you to see for yourself.
Oh, Jiminy, it's just like yours, Gabby.
Oh, let me put mine on right away.
Me too, me too.
Now, all you buckaroos better hurry to get your hat. From the looks of things, they're going like hotcakes. And I only got a set number made, so don't be left out. Hustle up. It's first come, first served.
Say, fellas and girls, thousands will be ganging up to get a Gabby Hayes prospector's hat. Remember, there isn't any other hat in the whole world like it. It has that same jagged look to the brim, that same jaunty angle straight up from your forehead, a cord under your chin with a hitch to hold it tight. And listen, this Gabby Hayes prospector's hat isn't paper or flimsy stuff. It's made of real good quality soft wool felt. And I mean 100% wool felt. Why, you might think this hat would cost $2 or $3, but it's yours for only 75 cents and one box top from a package of delicious Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice. If you don't agree that this hat is worth every penny you paid, return it and we will gladly refund your money plus postage. Imagine a real hat of soft 100% wool felt for only 75 cents in coin. Think of what a wonderful Christmas present this hat will be for you and for your special friends. It comes in three sizes to fit every boy and girl. Now, I'll bet you don't know your head size. Well, just for fun, first take a guess. Then see how close you are. All you do is put a tape measure or a strip of paper around your head at the forehead. Now, go ahead and do it right now. And then make a note of the exact number of inches, even to an eighth of an inch. And send this measurement with your order. We'll send you the size closest to your measurement. Remember, send your name and address with 75 cents in coin and one box top from a package of swell-tasting Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. Send to Hat, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois. Now, don't wait. Send now, tonight. And Gabby will see that you get a Gabby Hayes prospector's hat just like his. Send to Hat, H-A-T, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois. And don't forget your measurement. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, a trapper on Wolf Ridge, not far from here, was robbed last night of a valuable pile of furs. The trapper is Judd Aiken. The constable couldn't trail the thieves, but I'm hoping you have better success. In fact, you must bring in those two crooks.
I'll do my best, Inspector. I'll take King with me and try to pick up their trail at once.
Sergeant Preston and Yukon King went on what seemed to be a simple assignment. But they were soon to find that they were to face two killers who were determined to escape, even if it meant murdering the Mountie to do so. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, and directed by Fred Flowerday. Today's adventure was written by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereals shot from guns. Only Quaker Paco 10 has all your family's cereal favorites. A regular cereal pantry. That's Quaker Paco 10. 6 different delicious ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings. Paco 10, and only Paco 10, has wheat and rice shot from guns. And Paco 10 alone has the individual packages with the cellophane windows. There's both an inner and outer cellophane wrap to doubly protect that day it's made Christmas. Pick up a pack of Paco 10 at your grocer's tomorrow. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, Delicious Orange Crush. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System. ¶¶